Good morning and praise the Lord. It's indeed a great privilege for all of us to gather together in this manner this morning when the whole planet Earth is on a virtual lockdown. We are living in a world of hopelessness, world of despair, a world without answers, a world with panic, and a world with a lot of helplessness. In the midst of such situation, I'm sure each one of us is moved in our hearts to think and to contemplate that we have a great privilege in our life that we serve a risen Savior. And when the whole world is celebrating Easter, some by knowing its meaning, some without it. Anyway, as God's people, we are able to remember that fact every day of our life and in our gatherings on the Lord's Day morning. And on this day, when the world is celebrating that, we are able to remember and to think about that wonderful truth in a more meaningful manner as it relates to our life. You know, I was in the present world situation, again, I was thinking about the relevance of Easter, the resurrection of Christ. It is a great reminder for each one of us, for the whole world, that there is hope, there is new hope in Christ. There is a new world order coming through the resurrection of Christ. There is new life available in Christ. And there is a new body that will be given to all those who would believe in Him. You know, this infection and this pandemic, this virus, it is affecting our body. It is killing our body. That is the major concern now. The resurrection reminds us about a bodily resurrection even after we die, because our Lord Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. So that foundation gives all those who believe in Him the glorious hope of a bodily resurrection. You know, the last chapter of our life is death. And that is what people all are concerned about. You know, the last chapter is death. Who will write the last chapter of our life? It's a very important question. As I was thinking about the relevance of Christ's resurrection in my own life, who is going to write the last chapter of my life? Is it a virus? Is it an accident? Is it sickness? No. We may be removed from this world through various means, as God in His sovereign will ordains it. But the last chapter will be written by our Lord. That is why we have a great hope. For people who do not have this hope, those who do not know the Lord, their last chapter is written by accidental coincidence of incidents, by sickness, by tragedies. That's the end of it. But the last chapter of our life will be written by the Lord. And I was thinking more about the relevance of resurrection power. That last chapter will not be the final chapter, because it will be a preface to our new book, to the new life. You know, when we write a book, there is a preface and there is a conclusion, final chapter. And the final chapter of our life here on earth is our death. But that final chapter will lead us into the preface of another wonderful new life, new resurrection life, because of our Savior and what he has accomplished. You know, I write several books, so these are important terminologies and concepts. The final chapter and the preface of our book, that will be written by the Lord. So we don't have to be panicking about things, even though we are concerned about many things. Legitimate concern should be there. But at the same time, we should not be panicking, worried about the people of the world, because we know certain things which the world does not know. This morning, Lakshman read that wonderful verse from Hebrews 12:28. Dr. David Gooding's commentary on the book of Hebrews is titled on that verse, "An Unshakable Kingdom." We are receiving an unshakable kingdom. And the new kingdom is coming, new life is coming, new hope is there, new celebration, new world, new preface, and a new body, a new existence. What wonderful promises in the great hope of the resurrection. I would like to say a few more things about this whole concept of resurrection. You know, during the New Testament times, in which Paul wrote about resurrection, and when the disciples preached about resurrection, there was no concept in world religions and philosophies about resurrection. It's very important for us to know that. The Greeks believed in the immortality of the soul and in the transmigration of soul. That was their thinking. And the Eastern mystic religions, Eastern mysticism and philosophies, and Vedantic religions believed in the incarnation. No concept, absolutely no concept in any religion or philosophy about the resurrection, the physical resurrection of our bodies after death and receiving a glorified body and in a meaningful, wonderful existence, continuing with the Lord. The Hindu Vedantic monistic philosophies believe that we, the individual souls, will merge with the universal soul. And in Buddhism also, that is the kind of idea, the nirvana, you know, that final blissful stage in which people believed is a kind of a merging without any individuality, without any personality, without any separate meaningful existence. In the midst of it, the apostolic kerygma of the gospel, the apostolic message, was founded on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was the foundation of the Christian faith and the gospel. Take away the resurrection of Christ, there is no Christianity, there is no gospel, there is no hope, there is no faith. And our gathering together this morning will be the most shameful and meaningless thing in this world. Apostle Paul, who wrote one third of the New Testament, you know, he wrote a magnificent chapter entirely devoted to the doctrine of resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Then all the resurrection passages and all the rapture passages also remind us about this wonderful truth. When the apostles preached the gospel, their fundamental message was about Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected, and he is Lord of all, exalted. And anyone who comes to him in repentance and faith will have everlasting life, and That person, when he dies, he will live again. He will be physically resurrected, bodily resurrected. What a wonderful hope in a meaningless, hopeful, hopeless world. Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, that is very meaningfully tied with the hope of the believer. One more thing before I turn to a passage, because so many things, you know, came by way of great excitement to me this morning about the whole doctrine of this resurrection, the whole concept of resurrection of Christ. When Paul preached in Athens, among the philosophers on Mars Hill, chapter 17 of the book of Acts, the last verses, he preached about, it was a group of philosophers. And when he preached about resurrection, they mocked at him. And Dr. F. F. Bruce points out that one reason they mocked at him is because when he used the word anastasis, resurrection, they have never heard it before. And they thought it is another name for another God. This guy is serving another strange God about which we have never heard. That's why many of them mocked at him. Some of them said, hey, wait a minute, this guy probably knows something about another God named anastasis. And so we will probably invite him again to hear about it. No, because they had no concept about that. So that is why some of them, even though they scorned at him, others said, we will probably have another chance, another meeting with you, so that we can hear more about what is this stuff or what is this thing, what you call resurrection. What an amazing truth, brothers and sisters. What a hope. And this hope is qualified in different ways. You know, in the New Testament, as the blessed hope, comforting hope, living hope, hope as an anchor of the soul in the special vocabulary of the writer to the Hebrews, and also a hope that enters the veil, within the veil. A hope that does not disappoint us. And a victorious hope, a crowning hope. So the Lord has given us a lot of wonderful resources on the basis of the resurrection of Christ to be hopeful, though we are concerned about many things, but to hold fast, steadfastly to our hope and to the great victory Jesus Christ has brought to us through his resurrection. Christus Victor. Jesus Christ is our victorious Lord. Resurrected, ascended, exalted, glorified, and soon coming. And this morning, the Lord reminded me these things again. Even though I know it, you know it. But what a precious reminder on this day that this is the foundation of our faith. Jesus is risen. Shall we turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28? Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. Jonathan read some verses to us this morning. Very briefly, I want to point out some important truths. Three or four imperatives, special words in this first Easter morning. Beginning in verse 5, these are the words of the angel to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. If you wonder who is the other Mary, chapter 27, verse 56 tells us, let me read that, identity of the other Mary, chapter 27, 56, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's son. So it is Mary, the mother of James. So two Marys at the sepulcher, at the tomb, and the angel's message, verse 5, but the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. So the first message, the first declaration on the Easter morning is that there is no need for you to be afraid. And that is another refreshing thought. All of us know these verses, you know. Many of us have read and studied these passages numerous times. But what a precious reminder this morning, again to us, that because our Lord is risen, the angel announces to his disciples, to these two dear sisters who came to seek him, to the tomb, that do not be afraid. Can you hear that in your soul this morning? I'm afraid of many things. You are. The whole world is. So this is an angelic voice, God's own voice, communicated to us through an angel. It is not our president. It is not any doctor. It is not any human authority who is as frail as we are. But the Lord himself tells his people, do not be afraid. I want to believe that. I hope you also want to claim that promise. Do not be afraid. That is heaven's communication to us this morning. The first and the foremost message, the first declaration on that historical morning of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do not be afraid. And the angel said that, I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. You know, before the angel announced the resurrection, he referred to the crucified Christ. So that is what, just 5 minutes ago, what we were doing, even though now I am talking to you about the resurrection of Christ. The emblems from which we took part, it reminded us that before this glorious event of the resurrection, our Savior suffered and died and paid the price for our sin. He loved me and he gave himself for me. He died in my place. So there is no resurrection apart from crucifixion. No, there are in many religions, like people would like to think about their gods being like phantoms or like magicians doing so many wonderful heroic deeds and miracles, you know, without any suffering, without receiving any kind of affliction. But that's not Christian faith. Our Lord, he has all authority in heaven and on earth, Lord of lords, King of kings. But before that, he suffered for the sins of the world. He was crucified. That is where it all begins. He became a man. He lived a sinless life. And he gave his life on the cross of Calvary as an atoning sacrifice. That is the foundation of this celebration. But that's not the end of the story. Uniquely, as no one else can claim, he is risen from the dead. No one like him in the face of the world, in the history of the world. Then the angel broke the news. In verse 6, he is not here, for he is risen. What a trumpeting, thundering words is this. In our English translation, you know, it is three words. That is, he is risen. It is like in three words. But in the Greek text, it is just one word. He is risen. In John's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 36, it is finished. Three words. But in the Greek, it is only one word. You know? So that is amazing that at the death of Christ, when the Lord finally, when he was on the cross, it is finished. Just one word. Translations, it is English translation, three words. And after the death on the resurrection morning, what did the angel say? Again, one word, that he is risen. Risen. Finished and risen. Can we take comfort in those words this morning? Finished. Everything in relation to our salvation, it's finished. And to prove his deity and to publicly declare that he is the Son of God, that he is risen from the dead. So, tetelestai, it is finished. Agarthe, he is risen. What wonderful announcement, what trumpeting voice is that? And that is what the angel announced. Then what did the angel say? I just want to draw your attention to just two or three words. Verse 6, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Come. That's why we have come. It's the first imperative here. Come. We have come this morning as those dear sisters came. I'm just trying to show you how we can apply this first Easter message into our life's context in a very simple way. Come, remember this risen Savior. Come, worship this risen Savior. Come, sing unto this risen Savior. Come, take courage in this resurrected Savior. Come, remember the words of this resurrected Savior. Come, serve this risen Savior. Dear brothers and sisters, this morning, the Lord is inviting us to come. Don't backslide. Don't turn back. Don't leave. Don't doubt. Come. Come. And that is the first message of the resurrection given to these frightened women, these dear sisters, frightened and shivering and trembling. Probably they thought that if they hang around near the tomb, they may be implicated in a crime, that they have stolen the body of Christ. That may be the reason for their fear. This morning, we have a lot of fear, and the word of God reminds us, come. What is the second imperative? See where he lay. It's quite an empty place. He is not here. He will not be there. He is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. He has received all authority in heaven and on earth. He is not here. He is the resurrected, ascended, glorified, Christus Victor. See him in all his glory. See him in all his majesty. See him as the Lord and Master of your life. So can we come? Don't depart. Come. Worship. remember, sing unto him, see him. He is not here. He is not a dead savior. Nobody else can claim this in the world. No man, no woman, no teacher, no philosopher, no religious leader, no guru. This is unique to our savior. Look at verse 7, the third imperative. You have come. You have seen. And the third thing, you go quickly. There is an urgency. And tell the other disciples that he is risen. Egerthe, again, he is risen from the dead. So we come, then we see, we appreciate, we are emboldened in our spirit. We are convinced. We are blessed. Then we have to go. And we have to go quickly to serve him, to be his witnesses. Maybe at home, to our own children, to our own grandchildren, in our community, in our workplace. All of you are not traveling like I am called to do. Many of us, our mission field is right here, where the Lord has placed us. Tell through your values. Tell through your faith. Tell through your deportment, your conduct, your commitment, your love, your forgiveness, your graciousness, your compassion, and also through your words of witnessing about this wonderful Savior. Four imperatives in the resurrection morning, prefaced with, do not be afraid. First we have to dispel the fear. If the fear is there, we won't be able to think about anything, comprehend anything, make any decision. We will be confused. That is why the angel first dispelled the fear. So this morning, dispel the fear first. Then the message come to us. Come, go, come see. And number three, go and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. Look at verse 9. The Lord himself. So the four words of the angels, the imperatives are come, see, go, tell. The same thing, the same message to us this morning from the first Easter scene. Then look at the first message which the Lord Jesus gives them, verse 8. And as the verse 9. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. That is the first word uttered by the risen Christ, rejoice. They held him by the feet and worshipped him. Verse 10. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Same message the angel and the Lord repeated. Rejoice. And then the sisters, these dear women, worshipped him. And the Lord said, do not be afraid. That is the first and the last words. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Come, see, go, tell. Egerthe, he is risen. Tetelestai, it is finished. You know, I was reading about, who was that? Benjamin Franklin, one of the founding fathers of the United States. It's very doubtful whether he was a real believer in Christ. But it seems that he had some faith or some understanding and some fascination with Paul's doctrine of resurrection in the Bible. So he said, I would like to write my own epitaph, and this is what you should inscribe on my tombstone. And he himself wrote it. And this is what he wrote. The body of Benjamin Franklin, painter, because he was also, printer. He was a printer. The body of Benjamin Franklin, printer, like the cover of an old book, its contents torn out and stripped of its lettering and binding. It lies here, food for the worms. But the work shall not be wholly lost, for it will, as he would appear once more in a new perfect edition, corrected and amended by the author. See, he used the printing imagery. This book, my life will go like a book. It will be torn. Worms will eat it. But a new edition will come. Corrected, edited, and mended by the author. That is the hope of the Christian, because he is risen. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you for the inspiring, exciting, powerful message of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, which guarantees our own resurrection. In a hopeless world, when the whole world is in a virtual shutdown, what a wonderful truth for us to reminisce and to contemplate and to celebrate this morning. Our Lord is risen, and our hope is in him. Help us to come, help us to see, help us to go, and help us to tell this message to others. Give us greater, wonderful, brighter days before us, and pray that in thine own authority and power, thou may rebuke this pandemic and give deliverance to us, to our country, and to world nations, and the people may turn to thee, the living God, in repentance and faith. Thank you for ELBC and our joyful time to gather unto the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in worship, in remembrance, and also to study his precious word. Bless us together as we pray this in the name of the resurrected, ascended, glorified Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.